Blog Talk Radio.
Eskimo, the coolest DJ in the world.
X, let's go.
I'm looking for, yeah. Is that her in the VIP line? With the V-Time and the East Lorraine. Used to drive the Nissan, now she in a Beamer. I don't want her, cause she from the corner. And I heard that Beamer was a loner. Her old man the owner. And I don't even drink Coronas. What type of drink you want, bro? No champagne forever. On dirty Sprite forever. You come sit with me. If you like to change the weather. Want a little better, we can buy a crib wherever. Don't get too thirsty, get used to the cheddar. I wanna tell the world about you just so they can get jealous. And if you see a boy, I do. Till I wish that I met her. Turn on the lights, I'm looking for one too. I heard she keep her promises, ain't never turn on you. I heard she ain't gon' cheat and she gon' never make no move. I heard she be the energy that you mean that she gon' do. Turn on the lights.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please hold and you will be able to listen to the show.
listen to the show.
Blog Talk. Okay, well, y'all, seems like I'm on the air and that y'all can hear it. Sorry about the amateurishness, but yeah, I'm kind of not used to just speaking and not being able to hear myself through these headphones. So it appears that it's not the case. It's a little bit funny. You know, kind of like if you're in a studio booth or whatever and you're making a record, you know, you want to hear yourself. Yeah, you sound and make sure everything's good. But hold on, y'all. Yeah, that was him right there. Yep, he just cussed me out, as y'all all heard right there. Oh, what I'm talking about, y'all? I'm talking about child I have here, I guess.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please hold and you will be able to listen to the show.
Please bear with me, y'all. I just got a lot going on right now, and I'm hoping to resolve these issues rather quickly. Testing. 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 Okay. All right, y'all. We're just going to get started here, and I don't know. I'm going to have to see what's going on with these headphones while I'm not hearing. Get in there. I know I said I wanted to talk about the Patriot Act today and the violence used to enact these laws that are supported by, or at least purported to be supported by the majority of the public here in the United States of America, which is the Republic, versus the United States, which is the corporation or, and you know, we have to clarify a little bit of things. Now, you can use the term United States, and it can stand for, in fact, USA or whatever you wanted to stand for. So when we speak on things such as the U.S. being a corporation, it isn't setting goal. Like, you know, you're going to have people to use the U.S. and they're going to be referencing the country, the nation, not the corporation. Okay? Just like many of you, in order to even get duped into the things you were duped into, you had a different perspective on the word U.S. Or should I say we, because I'm a part of that. Don't want to exclude myself. You know, I was duped into it. It was passed on. It was tradition. But at some point, we have to wake up and smell the coffee, so to speak. And I'm hoping that we have a good grasp on how to do that. That is, wake up and smell coffee. Like, well, that's, you know, in a natural sense, we do it every day, right? That we are able to get up and get moving and going, wake up on our own. Or at least, I shouldn't say on our own, because some people are like, no, God wakes us up, you know. I'm not going to argue any of that. I'll just say that for the most part, we have instinctual responses to certain periods of time. You know, in our bodies, we have a gland that regulates sleeping and waking consciousness. And so it's really regulated That is, our sleep patterns are regulated by glands. So what we have is the pineal gland secreting the melatonin for night and the serotonin during the day. And those two neuropeptides give us the ability to rise and shine and to fall asleep. So when we say wake up and smell the coffee, we're saying listen inner part of you. Stop leaving that off when you hear some politician or some corporate public servant or corporate state employee tell you that they want this or that and you should be fearful of that and this and whatever else they're going to say in order to provoke some type of emotional response from you, in order to get you swayed over to whatever influence they want to garner through you, on you. So, you know, going back to Patriot Act, when we look at the events that took place on September the 11th, 2001, which has to be one of the most horrific events that happened in current U.S. history, we look back on that day, and there's always been speculation, always been conspiracy theories, there's always been people who have swayed either this way on the fence or that side on the fence or just stayed on the fence itself. Now, I'm not here to get into conspiracy theories of, or what so-called conspiracy theories of 9/11 being an inside job and this, that, and the third. You definitely don't want to ignore, if you're into this listening to the experts kind of thing and basing your opinions on what experts have to say about it, I hope you guys don't become biased and just listen to one group of experts because they're saying one thing that just kind of consoles your conscience that, you know, things could be different than how they're presented. Because oftentimes there's a saying that says truth is stranger than fiction. And so going back to the notions of doing things that goes against the grain of who you are or just goes against that small, quiet voice within yourself. You know, you want to help appease yourself from that voice by having a politician, corporate public servant, corporate state employee tell you, you know, that, hey, just go ahead and take a shot because it's the most safest thing for you to do. For example, during the COVID-19, episodes. Clearly you had doctors that were highly qualified, been in the field for decades, go against what other experts were saying for you to do. Now, I'm not going to get into a debate and argue that the persons who told you to get the COVID-19 shot were wrong and this and that, because at the end of everything, it comes down to your choice. That is, if you had the shot and you took it willfully, well, yeah, it was your choice. Even if it meant if you didn't take it, you would lose your job. You still have a choice. And a lot of people profess belief in something higher than man, but it's just a profession. It's not an actual adherence to the faith. You know, like when you adhere to the rules of the road, to the so-called rules of the law and everything, you know, you can see those expressed every day in people that adhere to them. Why? Because you don't see them doing contrary to what the law says to do in regards to speed limit or, you know, conducting and behaving yourself out in the general public. So you have evidence of adherence to whether it's law, whether it's faith. It's the same thing. And what the pandemic showed was that you have a lot of people out here that profess one thing, but they're not adherent to what they profess. They believe it. They're not true adherents. But that still goes all back into being able to discard that still small voice. Tune that out and tune man's voice in, because you're going to allow yourself to believe that man knows better than your still small voice, than that still small voice. Some people might refer to it as intuition. Others might refer to it as the voice of God. But I'm pretty sure everyone can relate to not having previous knowledge consciously about something, right? And then there's something within you. You can't taste it, smell it, see it, hear it, touch it in the physical sense. But you can definitely hear it. You might be able to even visualize what's being said. But my point being is that I think everyone can relate to at some point or another in their lives where they had a moment of, man, I knew something told me, blah, 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 blah. That voice, paying attention to it, mastering your listening skills to that voice, reaps large, huge rewards. And earlier I was talking to my son just before we got on. Now he's 15, he's rebellious, he's a lot of things. I love him, really do. And I was just contemplating his behavior and connecting the dots to society. I think it is a real tragedy about what's going on in our public schools today. The lack of true wisdom. The lack of true wisdom. I want to understand that, you know, I want to understand how we allow our children to be beguiled, enchanted with utter bullshit. Okay? So here it is. We get enchanted with this BS, and you know, as a kid, we get enchanted with all the BS they teach us about history. Now it's called social studies, but it delivers the same deception. We can talk about a lot of things, but the true things that create the things that create one second, guys. Okay. So yeah, we end up getting beguiled in these schools through history, through social studies, through different academia, because there's always a narrative that paints these pictures, these false perceptions and ideas, right? And we adhere to those false perceptions and ideas. And they become a bulwark that fortifies our knowledge base. And so when we hear things contradicting that, we automatically take personal offense to it. Or what some would call cognitive, because we reject so quickly information that contradicts what we've been taught. So what I recognize today is that in this nation, you don't have a huge number of philosophers. And I think that is an issue, real big issue here in this nation. Certain ones would tell you that philosophy comes from other disciplines of science. But I'm not in agreement with that. My thing is, I see that philosophy actually is the mother of all sciences, so to speak. It is through philosophical engagement, you know, the inquisitive mind, that creates the what, where, the when, the how, the why, the who. So it is with the inquisitive minds that philosophia has its backdrop, its background. It's with those inquisitive minds, and people say, well, you know, science, isn't that what science is? It's most definitely. So how could you rule out philosophy being science? In other words, you always have to have a knowledge base. And that knowledge base has to have a source. And some of the things that we know comes through empirical evidence, empirical experience. Some other things we know doesn't. And we can get into these questions of how do we know anything? And we'll understand that we know things through experience, right? We can say we know things because other people has told us those things, but that doesn't mean we know it. If I turn on the news and it says 10 killed in spaceship in outer space, well, do I know that 10 people have been killed in a spaceship and out of space because they said it? No. Why? Because I wasn't able to see it, hear it, taste it, touch it, smell it. So I would say I don't know that exists, right? I don't know if that's real. I can accept it as being real, and thus that acceptance turns into belief. But belief and knowledge, while certain things are similar, are two different species. And it is always better than to know than to believe. Especially as it pertains to your health, your wealth, just your entire welfare. It is better to know. So, yeah, I wanted to get on here tonight and just talk about liberty versus security. Talk about the things that we take for granted, and through the slick tongues of certain agents, we devalue what has true value. We give it over to others. Right? And us diminishing what is truly valuable in our lives, we also create what is utterly worthless. The more value that we give away, what do we have left? Your life then succumbs to a diminishing value equation. Or an equation of diminishing value. We don't get to see the immediate consequences of our actions a lot of the times. It may take years before we ever begin to see the results of it. And even then, we may not even connect the results to previous choices and decisions we've made. So we look at, for example, one of the things that happened during the pandemic was that laws were passed or legislation was passed that put trillions and trillions of dollars out into the economy, right? Stimulus packets, PPP loans, EIDL loans, just all this money. And the tragedy of that was in the United States, large portions of that money did not even go to the American people. It went into foreign nations. So here it is. We put trillions of dollars in 1 year out there. Trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions. No one stopped to think, or if they did stop to think, they only did a short-term glance and kept it moving of, hey, wait a minute, if we create all this currency and we don't have the products and services, capital goods, etc., the GDP, GNP, if we don't have those things covered to where the amount of currency is approximately the amount of goods and services you can buy, invest, etc. You know, we might be in trouble. In other words, if I created $100 trillion of currency and put it into an economy that only created $1 billion worth of products, goods, services, what's going to happen to that economy? Well, you can already see that demand is going to go way up, right? Because there's an influx of cash. And because of that, we also know that, well, if demand goes up, economics 101 says that when demand goes up, what happens? Supply goes up too, right? But if supply goes up, then also costs go up after supply goes up. And the inability to meet high demand because your supply is way too low means that inflation is created. So we're seeing now the product of what we've done here in America with the increase of currency during the pandemic. So now we have just inflation all over the place. Markets trying to come back into equilibrium, balance itself out. And it might take a while. It might take a very, very long time. And knowing the elasticity of the dollar doesn't look too good, because we know that the dollar diminishes in value over time, and it's been doing it ever since 1933. But I want to get back, you know, like I said, liberty and security. We're trading our liberty in for security. Not that we could really seriously trade it in, because your liberty is something that is God-given. And for you atheists out there, people who say there is no God, this and that and the third, that's fine. I'm not here to debate with you either. But what I am here to say is that please tell me the definition of nothing. And then tell me how you reasonably can get something from nothing. And let me define. Don't even tell me what it is. I'm going to define when I say nothing, so there's no mistake about it. Nothing. When I say nothing, I mean no atoms, no energy, no thoughts, no type of existence whatsoever. Existence doesn't exist. And I want you to tell me how in the world, when there's absolutely no existence of anything at all, can you get something from it? In other words, there's no potential. There's no existence of potential. There's no existence of anything whatsoever. So the idea of nothing is limited if it is to be reasonable, if it is to be
real has to be limited. And in its limitation, we see that there has to be something that has always existed. Matter of fact, if we go into science, what science will tell us is that matter is neither created nor destroyed. And if that is the case, then science is simply saying that matter has always been. But now we get into arguments of that because at some point, unless matter becomes unquantifiable, right, then it hasn't always. In other words, if I can get a hold of, a compound, right, water, for example, is a compound. If I can get a hold of water, and I can hold a water molecule, H2O, in my hand, and then I can separate the hydrogen atom from the oxygen atom, right? Boom. Now, I don't have water anymore. Now, there's a potential there because of the hydrogen and the oxygen, but if I separate those atoms from each other, water no longer exists in that sense. So we say that in the arena of physics, matter breaks down into more matter. Basically, the underpinnings of water is, of water molecules, are atoms. And then when we look into atoms, we understand that the underpinnings of atoms are the subatomic particles, the electrons, the protons, the neutrons. And then we begin to look into those, and it begins to, you know, it creates dichotomy, stratification. I mean, it goes there. So we say that, well, in order for a water molecule, in order for water to exist, there first had to be what? Hydrogen and oxygen. So there's a predecessor, things that precede the water, things that precede the hydrogen and the oxygen. You understand what I'm saying? So it's for another example is when we talk about matter. Matter could not exist without space. Now, when we say space and time in physics, space and time kind of equate to the same thing. But matter could not exist in the sense as we know matter without there being space. There has to be space for it to have shape, to have contour, to have form. And so we see that things have a procession to them. So I'm saying that just to all the atheists out there is that, yeah, I understand that you guys say there is no God and this. Yeah, just let me know what your ideas on what nothing is and whether or not you agree that something always existed. Because that's going to deaden the argument for me, because logically, something or some things had to always be in existence in order for anything at all to exist. But moving along, the reason I'm bringing the creator up into this equation, up into this topic, is because this is the foundation of man's liberties. And these things are unalienable. You cannot have these things taken from you. Being taken from and violated of is not the same thing. So yes, of course, you can have violations of your natural law rights all day long, but no one can take those rights from you. You have a right to your life. And if someone, God forbid, was successfully to end your life, it would not mean that they took your right to it. It's impossible. God forbid, should you die with your rights intact. So this is something that we have to understand, that violation of our rights is one thing, and taking of our rights is something entirely different. And like I said, it is impossible for man to take your right to life, to take your right to property, to take your right to freedom. Those things are impossible tasks that man can never achieve. He can achieve and does quite oftenly on a 24/7 basis around the world violations of those inalienable rights. So we begin to see that there has to be some type of vanguard that the people determined the government was to represent when they delegated to these public servants their power to legislate, their power to act as judges, lawmakers, and enforcers or executioners. And so in discovering certain things in current time, what I've discovered is that we're now operating in a system that kind of it appears to be flipped on its head. Okay? Ass backwards, if you will. Instead of the people regulating and running their servants are running and regulating them. And in fact, it's so bad that the servants actually believe they're the masters. And the people are the slaves, are the servants, when it's supposed to be the other way around. Well, in reality, it is the other way around. Realistically, in can't say practice, because realistically in practice, yeah, it's ass backwards. But realistically in law, right, the people are the ones that put, the people are sovereign. And you can't have collective sovereignty without individual sovereignty. Sorry. So you have people that come along and understand the meaning of you have people that come along and understand the meaning of these things and begin to have their interest piqued in wanting to know more, because they're tired of the riffraff, they're tired of the BS, they're just tired of having to jump through hoops and hurdles that, for the most part, don't make sense to them. Doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Going back to liberty versus security. So, unfortunately, what happens is that events happen. And when those events happen, people are promised, hey, if you give this up, we can stop this from happening again. All we want is your freedom. Doesn't mean that much anyway. I mean, if you don't have anything to hide, what's wrong with letting us peer into your business, your affairs, your personal and private affairs? What's wrong with that if you don't have anything to hide? And suggestions like that connotate that you're not even your, that just that privacy and your own personal fear of living is not all that valuable. How much money you got? Because the people who are asking you, the groups that are asking you to give up your privacy, how much of their privacy do they give up to you? When was the last time you were able to tell what Senator so-and-so or Representative so-and-so made on their financial statements, or what they said to their family at dinner time? You readily get that information up. In other words, you consent to having people spy into your private lives and report what's being said, done, and thought back to a particular group of people to monitor and scrutinize. Meanwhile, these are supposed to be your servants that are doing this. And it's all in the name of you having security. But what I'm saying is that that's nothing to fear, in the sense that you don't have to continue to do it. Whatever law, so-called, that any legal fiction creates, and all these legal fictions have names like Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Philadelphia, New Jersey, Massachusetts, New York, Mississippi, Oklahoma, Missouri, Nebraska, etc. I'm just naming, but my point being is that these are legal fictions. They don't exist except as constructs or abstract ideas. And in order for a legal fiction to rule over any sovereign-born individual, which you are, you're sovereign because you are a human being. That was endowed with certain rights. How do we know you were endowed with those rights? Do we believe this, or do we actually know that man has a right to its own life? Well, we know this. We know that man has a right to its own life. It should be, as the Declaration of Independence stated, self-evident. And once we can kind of agree with that one to say, well, yeah, it makes sense that if one man is born with a right to live, all men are born with a right to live. What separates one man from the next in terms of who's worthy of being alive and who isn't? What baby deserves to live more than the other? It's just commonsensical thing. So what I'm saying is that, yes, we are born sovereign. We have a right to our life, a right to our liberty, a right to our property, a right to our pursuits, etc. We have rights that we have been born with. And you cannot convert one of those rights into some type of privilege that can be regulated and licensed by man. Sorry, you can't. Now, you can play the game like you can, and you can have innocent bystanders fall into that game and play it and be subjected to the intrusions and the abridgment of their rights. But it'll be through chicanery. It'll be through trickery. It'll be through deception, deceit. It won't be upright people just handing it over. That's not the way it operates. That's not the way it works. And the forces that be, who don't want the expression of sovereignty to be a beacon across this planet, hey, they want to extinguish every light of sovereignty where it exists, snuff it out. And there's no greater light of that beacon we call sovereignty than here in the good old U.S. of A. And even now, that light is dim here, dimmer than it's been in generations. Because you have people going along with a particular type of thought process, which guarantees their unabdicated enslavement. And I say, well, unabdicated enslavement. Maybe I should have said abdicated enslavement. What I mean is, these people will surrender willingly every single expression of their sovereignty over to have the security that these forces project as being able to provide. So when we look at the Patriot Act and we go over, I'm not going to get into the specifics of it and everything. I'll just say it like this, is that it is one of the most grotesque attacks on the American people's sovereignty that I've seen beyond Jim Crow, the enslavement laws and all of those things that were at one time in effect during the early decades and epics of this nation. Yeah, it's absolutely grotesque in nature, and when it just, oh man. And the fact that so many Americans still to this day have not completely just said, you know, this had, but the reason why they don't have that is because it's hard for people to get out of an illusion if they don't know they're in it. See, one thing about it is with these legal fictions, each state is a legal fiction. And each state has to have a contract with you in order for it to have any type of say-so over you. And that contract has to be reasonably presumed or assumed. And it's easy, because all they get you to do is put your John Hancock on a piece of paper that ties you into their jurisdiction. Invisible contracts, adhesive contracts. You got all types of contracts that'll tie you in to make it reasonable to presume or assume that you have given consent to something you don't know shit about. Excuse my language, but hey. So we have to understand that here in this nation, just like anywhere else in the world, the idea of sovereignty is not a popular ideology among the many governments of man, unless it is referencing the actual leaders of state in that particular government, the head of that government itself. So we understand this to such a degree that we know even here, our own so-called government now is in fact representative of a foreign government in actuality. That's right, foreign. Because it does not hold the tenets of the traditional American government. Now, I was reading the other day somewhere on the FBI's website or some documents. They were kind of a little year old or whatever, but not that old. But the ideological setting that they would like you to look at certain people in is very fictitious and dangerous in nature. Dangerous because it would have you presume the worst about a certain set of people who have a certain set of values that are 100 purely American in nature. Because like I said earlier, American values, the right to your life, the right to your freedom, the right to your property, your sovereign. And I'm not, notice I didn't say sovereign citizen, even though I'm not going to talk bad against the so-called sovereign citizen. You just, for the most part, you might have a lot of people out there that truly resonate with the message that they are sovereign. They know it in their bones they are, that no man has a right to tell them what to or not to do, so long as all of their actions are in compliance with natural law. Does it make sense for you to try to make rules over any man, woman, who is a strict adherent to natural law? They don't need a government to tell them what to and what not to do, because in all of their actions, their intentions are not to take a man's life unjustly, man or woman, take another person's freedom unjustly, man or woman, take another person's property unjustly, man or woman, etc. So when it comes to those particular types of mindsets interacting with other people, you have the least amount of problems that there possibly can be. So why would a government that is built upon the idea that all men are born equal try to then convey the exact opposite, that you're born automatically under a certain particular type of authority if you're born in any of the states of the United States of America? That's the wrong idea that they're conveying, but this is what our kids are being taught in school. They're not being taught that they're sovereign from birth, even though that is the true reality. the true nature. They are. And the only one that they are born with absolute obligation to is their creator. These are some of the values that, you know, are old-time values, but they've escaped us. And don't get me wrong. It's not like the American nation actually has a good face when it comes to honoring natural law principles for all men. Because we already know the advent of slavery would have never been in existence, especially not within 1776 or beyond, once the Declaration of Independence was signed, enacted upon. Slavery should have came to an end, but it didn't. I mean, here in America, it should have came to an end, but it didn't. It continued on centuries later. Shit, it still continues on to the day. Oh, no, doesn't we end it slick? You better go back and read that 13th Amendment and understand that slavery wasn't abolished. It was transformed. It mutated into punishment for crime. And then that became an injustice because now crime, instead of being where you injured another person, crime now is just simply doing anything that a law says you shouldn't be doing. Or let me stop using the word law. Anything that's been legislated says you shouldn't do. So if the legislation says, hey, man, don't come out at 10 o'clock and you come out at 10 o'clock. And if the legislation says, hey, you can't come out, don't come outside at 10 a.m. nor 10 p.m. And you get caught coming outside during one of those hours. Well, you're a criminal. That was a criminal act. You see how that works? So slavery can be justifiably engaged, and you be put into enslavement because you committed a crime. See how that works? You've committed a crime by not doing what we told you to do, even though there was no human being whatsoever hurt. Oh, you crossed the street and didn't cross it in the sidewalk, but you did cross it at a time in a particular manner where you brought no harm to any human being? Oh, it doesn't matter about all that. It just matters that you didn't do what we told you you couldn't do. So you're a criminal, and slavery is now justified to be placed upon you. Yes, we have justification to make you a unwilling participant in enslavement. So this is the type of crap that's going on in the nation. And been going on, like I said, for a long time. How long has slavery been, what do they call, abolished? When was the 13th Amendment ratified? Just a load of shit. Oh, well, you're against the... No. Listen very carefully. The Declaration of Independence is the founding document of the nation. It is the one that is holding all the keys. It's the foundation. Without it, you don't have America. Period. So, regardless of... You can get the top build... brightest mind, lawyer, attorney, judge, a supreme, or the supreme, whatever. they'll never be able to trump the Declaration of Independence as being the foundation of the nation and the ultimate source that recognizes you, the American people, collective and individually, as being sovereign. Stop trading your damn liberty for security, or at least what they label as security, because trust me, that shit ain't security. You want to be secure? You take responsibility for your security. Know the game and how they playing this motherfucker. I'm not saying you can't benefit from the game that's being played. Hell, a lot of the... this is not an attack against our corporate public servants either. I'm not here to attack them. They're doing the same thing we're doing. Feeding their goddamn families. Excuse my French. Trying to get by or getting by. They're getting by. They have all the money. They got a lot of power, position, authority, etc. That's riding off the backs of the ignorant people, though. And what I'm saying is the ignorant people have to wake up. If you don't want to be like sheep before the slaughter, because they are playing the game with your ass. And the sooner you find that out, the better. But you can lead a horse to the water, you can't make them drink. No, and like I said, these people, they have families. Just like you, mom and dads, aunties and uncles, grandmas and grandpas, sons and daughters, etc., man. Come on. The people. Well, we believe some, most of them are. let me suffice it to say that, you know, they're going to do what they're going to do. They've gotten away with so long now. They created a whole gargantuan movement. A lot of them are in it because, you know, they ran amok for so long in perpetrating the fraud against the American people, that's all they know. They've reaped the rewards and benefits of it. But if they can do it, if they can run a fraud on you and reap the benefits of it, is it wrong in turn for you now to benefit from the fraud as well? Wouldn't that make sense on some type of level? If you understand that there's a fraud being ran down on you, and what I mean by fraud is that where you have people that present something to you in a misrepresented way, they misrepresent something to you. That's an element of fraud, especially if your obligation is tied into an agreement that was made or presumed to be made through the misrepresentation or misrepresentations. It's not a true contract or valid contract anyway. It can be a true contract, it's just not a valid one. But they're making their money. They're making their careers, putting their kids through college, trust funds, offshore or overseas account, offshore accounts. You know, they're doing the damn thing, and they've been doing it for a long time. But the American people, you've been robbed. You've been, cut every way but loose from these factors. It's time that you start benefiting from it. If you want to play the game, if you want to partake in the fraud, benefit from it. Why would you partake in it and not benefit? Why would you feel like you're doing something wrong if you benefit from the fraud that has been placed upon you? They came up with this idea. because of the incompetent acts that were committed against the people, against the American people, by their delegation of representatives, government agents. So it took its mind of its own. They couldn't do it with the Declaration of Independence. That's why all the so-called documents were needed, so that they could create in and of itself a government that was separate from the constitutional one. And that's what has occurred. How do we know those things exist? Because there's court cases in which the suggestion of those things having the potential to exist is expounded upon, and in fact treated as a scenario of dire consequences, should it be the case. And we're in that state right now. Two governments in America. Yeah, you do have a shadow. The shadow government takes its form in the traditional government. When you go into these courts and you see that something ain't right. If we're innocent until proven guilty, why am I being treated as I'm already guilty when I get charged with a crime? You don't see anything wrong with that? Isn't that backwards? If I'm innocent until proven guilty, then all benefit of a doubt should be what? Towards me, the one that's being accused. But that's not how these courts play it in today's modern America. So we have to start asking ourselves, why? What the fuck is going on? But I'm going to cut this short. Please excuse earlier today. I say today, this morning. Trying to get this stuff started. I still have some hiccups going on with the equipment and everything. Hopefully I can get this gear up together and running the way I think it's supposed to be running. But I do appreciate anybody's patience that they've had with me this whole time. And if there's any callers that want to talk before I get ready to wrap things up, please do not hesitate. Give me a call. The number is 515-602-9666. That is 515-602-9666. So you guys can definitely give me a call. Let me know what's happening. Okay. Oh, wow. Okay, guys. So sorry about this. My mic has been in mute the whole time. Okay. So I just did a whole entire show.
I'm hoping. I'm hoping that you guys have or enjoy the rest of your night here. And definitely tune back in later on this week. Probably host another show by Friday for you guys. Promise to get back into it too and go deeper into the subjects of the Patriot Act and the scenarios surrounding the Patriot Act, and also parallel different events that end up also squeezing you on your rights, you know. And when I say squeezing you on your rights, I'm just simply saying that for those that are these 14th Amendment citizens, those that say that they are U.S. citizens, they are not really understanding the implications of agreeing on these government applications and documents, what the 14th Amendment citizen is. They don't understand the ramifications of it, that in fact, you are a federal citizen that you are attesting to. And yes, it was the 14th Amendment definitely had the initial or purported intentions of helping the recently freed Negroes to have some sort of governmental protection of their rights under the 14th Amendment, which they were recognized as federal citizens, because the states, a lot of them refused to recognize the Negro as a citizen of that state, and thus did not afford the Negro the protection of government of those different legal fictions. And then during the time, those early times in America, you know, if you were classified as a Negro, especially after slavery, you still had to be very, very careful where you treaded it, because you had gangs of white people willing and waiting to catch you and to do spiteful and hateful things to you on your way out of here, crossing over to the other side. So, you know, it wasn't anything pretty, and it still isn't in America today. It's still nothing pretty. You still have hordes of racist white men and women and children. Definitely children, because those are the future races. That particular paradigm, ideology, mindset has to be passed on like a torch from one generation to the next. They haven't put it down because they know the implications of what it means should it be put down. And, you know, that's one of the things I wanted to get into about the race card, how it's being played and utilized against all Americans so that, you know, we forever are at odds with each other. And of course, you have to think about this too. There's a lot of people in America that know the racist card is bullshit. You say, oh no, man, you one of those Uncle Tom niggas if you think you can tell us that these white folks ain't shit and that they don't want us not to have shit. And no, I'm not saying that. You got a bunch of white people out here that don't want you with shit. Don't ever want to see your ass to have shit. But guess what? You got a lot of black folks that don't want to see your ass with shit either. You know, it's universal. So we can concentrate on what happened in the past. We should, actually. Not saying we shouldn't concentrate. We need to concentrate on what happened in the past wrongs that groups have done to each other, and know that we're not innocent in all that shit as human beings. We're not innocent. Meaning we have to hold ourselves accountable for being here on this planet, because it was our choice to be here.
And if we can accept that it was a choice, not something that we were forced into. I didn't have a choice to come here. Yeah, you did. Actually, you did. And you chose to come here for a purpose. Now, I can't help that society's rules and regulations and patterns, etc., have such a powerful influence on the beings that choose to come here that the original purpose of why they're here gets distorted. And sometimes the purpose for being here actually is made manifest through society. If you can believe that one. But all in all, I'm going to call it a night. And thank you guys for listening. Please tune in this Friday as we're going to have more info and talk in regards to your liberty versus your security. Peace.